Welcome to Sober Trek. This is a monthly podcast where we discuss sobriety and addiction in the Star Trek universe and how it affects us as viewers and as a community. We are a proud member of the Tricorder Transmissions Network and a safe and open space for any and all of you to turn to for support. My name is Polly Esther. I'm your host, and I am an alcoholic. As the wise Captain Catherine Janeway once said, there's coffee in that nebula. So grab your mug and join us for the conversation. This is our very first episode, and I am not alone here. I am being joined by the lovely people from the Tricorder Transmissions Network. Please help me welcome Heather Barker and Jeff Hewlett.
Yay! We're super happy to be here and super proud of you for doing this and for bringing this show to our network, too.
Yes, we are. Absolutely. This has been in the works for a little while now, in secret. So we haven't really been talking much about it because we didn't know how long it was going to take to get it all together. But here we are. We're finally here. And welcome to Polly, our newest host on the Tricorder Transmissions Network.
Oh. And our third woman.
Yes.
Yay. There's three women now.
Yay.
Oh, it's so great. I'm so excited about this first episode. This is just going to be very loosely based. We're just going to be talking in general with no structure. And then as of the next episode, we'll go into more structured format and discussing specific episodes in Star Trek in general. So for tonight, we'll tell you how it all came together. And before we start with that, I'm going to have Jeff talk a little bit about the Tricorder Transmissions Network and our Patreon sponsors.
Yeah, so, well, as we've already said before in the past on other shows, but we'll reiterate it here, the Tricorder Transmissions is a Star Trek-focused network. We have, oh God, Heather, what, 10? 11 shows right now. Like, I lost count.
A lot.
We have a lot of shows across all different Star Trek topics. I think we cover the gamut at this point of Star Trek different topics. And Polly's new show fits in perfectly. It's something that we haven't been covering. And I think this might be a first in the Star Trek podcast universe, actually. And yep, as you said, we do have a Patreon page. You can find it at patreon.com/thetricordertransmissions or by going to our website, thetricordertransmissions.com, and clicking the big orange Patreon link in the upper right-hand corner. And if you like what we do here on Sober Trek or any of our other Tricorder Transmission shows, please consider being one of our Patreon family. When you do, you will get instant access to early release and often extended episodes that will be available to you exclusively, usually a few days or a week before the episodes actually hit the public feeds. We also have monthly Patreon chats that you will be invited to where some of our Tricorder hosts will join you and talk Trek. No real agendas. We just kind of shoot the breeze about all things Star Trek. And we also have an exclusive Patreon member pin that we will send you at any pledge level. None of these benefits require any specific donations. Any pledge level will get you all of this stuff. Did I miss anything, Heather?
Nope. I think that's pretty much it. We love all of our patrons. It doesn't matter if you donate $1, $10, whatever. It's we appreciate it all, and we're just happy to watch our Patreon family grow.
Yes.
Just like we're watching our podcast network family grow. So
huzzah.
All good things.
Yes.
It's one big community of love.
It is.
It really is. And I will say that for our network, particularly, and I know for Jeff and I, We feel that a lot of our shows on this network, let me restart that. I know that for me personally, and I know Jeff is on board with this. Our network is very much community focused.
Yes.
It was born out of community. We all met each other at one specific Star Trek convention, which if you're a follower of our network, you know it's STLV, Star Trek Las Vegas. But the reason that this podcast is so special is because it focuses on a very personal issue. And I think that being able to empower you and to help you use your voice and you tell your story will help reach and inspire others. And we like to think that even if we don't hear from people out there, we hope that we're still helping people. Mm-hmm. And so that's why when you brought this idea to us, there was absolutely no way we could turn you away.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah. You were already family, but your subject here is something that touches me personally and touches so many people that I know, that I have in my life personally. So I'm grateful, again, that you brought it to us. And we're really excited to help you birth this show and to see where it goes in the future.
Me too. It's a whole new venture for me. Thank you so much, Heather. It means a lot to be a part of this network. I suppose I should tell my story and how everything came to be. It's kind of a long one, but it'll give all you listeners the opportunity to hear how everything came together and why you are listening to this specific podcast tonight. So I started doing One Woman shows about 4 years ago at the tender age of 43. and the first one was called Weird Al Saved My Life. And it was how, as a teenager, I discovered Weird Al like really late at night on the radio. And basically from somebody who suffered from trauma and depression, his music really did save me and pulled me out of the world I didn't understand and into something that I did. And it helped me understand everything around me. And then a few years later, my second show was called Damn It, Jim, I'm a Comedian, Not a Doctor. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, you Star Trek fans should find that funny. This one was about discovering Star Trek really late in life. I only started watching it in 2013, and it was everything watching for the first time over 2 years, a 2-year marathon of watching everything from Next Generation right up until the animated series. So we went to Enterprise and then started with the original series and then into the animated series and then rewatching all of the films. When I finished this, 10 days after that, my hubby and I ended up in Las Vegas for the 2015 Star Trek Las Vegas convention.
Nice.
So that was my very first STLV, and it was incredible. I couldn't believe we were there. Everything was still so fresh for me with Star Trek, and it had changed from starting to watch it just as a sci-fi show, as entertainment and escapism, to something that had really moved me, and the lessons that I was learning from it and just discovering things about myself while watching it as well. Everything I'm saying tonight, I actually say in my show because it's grown over the past few years. And I've actually been touring it this year. I went to the Orlando Fringe Festival and then I took it to Denver and I'll be taking it to Fresno, California in March. I just found out I got into the Rogue Festival.
Woo! So
nice.
Yes, I'm very excited. So I want to get it to San Francisco, obviously, in California. So hopefully that will happen. But to get back to the story, we went to the Las Vegas convention in 2015. And this was the year that Leonard Nimoy had passed away. And we watched the tribute for him, I believe, on the Saturday morning. And that was very touching. And then the Sunday morning was a tribute to Grace Lee Whitney. And I knew nothing about her. And I sat there and was blown away by what I heard. I had no idea about her circumstances, because she just disappeared from the first season of Star Trek, and she never came back into the second and the third season. So I discovered, probably many of the listeners know or might not know, she had been fired halfway through the first season and had come into a horrible time with her alcohol addiction and her drug addiction. Mm-hmm. And it was Leonard Nimoy and DeForest Kelly that actually helped her get back on her feet and find work. And then she got sober and spent the remaining 35 years of her life dedicated to helping others in their journey and their recovery. I basically sat in the audience and bawled my eyes out. I was so touched, and I had no idea about any of this, and obviously related to it on a personal level. And this is where I'll bring my side into it. I never drank when I was younger, but I married young. I met my husband, my first husband, at 18, and things did not go well pretty early on. It was an emotionally and mentally abusive marriage, and it was in that marriage that I went to the bottle, and I became an alcoholic, and it got really bad. I eventually left my husband at the start of 2000 and basically weaned myself off of alcohol because I didn't need it as a crutch anymore to get through my day in this marriage. And I got sober and was sober for about 5.5 years, just on my own. I never went to get help or through AA or anything. And then a friend of mine sadly took her life. And I immediately went back to the bottle because that's the only thing I knew. When something was horrific, I just immediately had to numb myself. And so I went and I drank for a week, and it was awful. And I had only been with my new partner, Chris, for 2 months at that point. And he said to me one day, he said, I can't be with you if you're going to be like this, and I want to be with you. And so for the first time at the age of 36, I actually said the words, I need help. Like, can you help me with this? And he said, yes. Mm-hmm. And I looked up some AA meetings and found one, and he came with me to the first meeting, and I sat and I just cried the entire time. But I sat there and realized that all the stories that I was hearing and all the readings, it was stuff that was in my head. It was stuff that I was like, I couldn't believe that everything that I had been feeling and going through was happening to everybody else in that room with me. And I realized that I wasn't alone in this suffering and this torment that, you know, I had had. And I got my 24-hour chip that night. And that was October 13th, 2007. And I have been sober since that night. This is October 17th that we're recording this. So 4 days ago, I celebrated 11 years of sobriety.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah, it is.
It's a long road. A tough road sometimes. It does get easier, but then there are times when you have the immediate, you know, reaction that you just want to drink, but, you know, I work through it, and it is a daily, you know, you have to work at it every day. So as I sat there listening to the Grace Lee Whitney tribute, it hit me, and I was wondering, I was like, I wonder if anybody else, you know, in this room understands this like I do, like just how I felt in that room my first night at AA. And the panel that followed it was the third Deep Space Nine panel of the weekend. And Deep Space Nine is my favorite of all the Star Trek series, though I love them all, but that one has a special place in my heart. And I decided to go up to the mic to ask a question. So I lined up at the front of the stage, and I was first one at the mic on my side. And I had two questions prepared, and the cast came out, and it was Casey Biggs, who's my favorite actor. And it was Mark Alima, who played Gul Dukat, and Chase Masterson, who played Lita, and Andrew Robinson, who was Garrick, of course, and Bashir O'Heavens.
Oh, I was Anders Sidig.
Yes, thank you very much. So it was them on this panel, which is just, they're, you know, lovely. And I stood there, and Adam Malin was moderating, and the first few questions that come out of his mouth are the ones that I had prepared. So now I'm standing at the mic and I'm panicking because I'm like, I've come here and I'm the first at the mic. I want to be able to ask something. And all of a sudden I get called upon and I have no idea what I'm going to say. And I started saying, there's a video of this somewhere. I mean, you're looking at the actors on the stage, but you can hear the questions on the mic. And I just started by saying, I said, oh, hi, I'm such a huge fan of Deep Space Nine. It's my favorite of all the series. And then I started to cry at the microphone. And then I was trying to stop and then obviously apologize for crying because they're thinking, oh my goodness. And then I had mentioned, I said, I'm sorry, I'm really emotional. This is coming immediately after the Grace Lee Whitney tribute, where I found out, you know, about her problem with alcoholism. And then I said the words, I'm coming up on 8 years of sobriety myself. And that shocked the hell out of me. Because I obviously didn't plan on saying that. And I didn't plan on saying it in front of 5,000 people in the ballroom at the time. But I was shocked. But all of a sudden, everybody in the ballroom started cheering and applauding. Mm. And the actors on the stage did the same. And then I realized I still had to ask a question. I was too nervous to think of something to say to Casey Biggs because, like I said, he was my favorite. And then I actually realized I did have a question for him. And so, because his character, Galdemar, was an alcoholic on Deep Space Nine. Remember, he had a problem with the Canar.
Canar, yeah.
And so I ended up talking to him about this and asking him, you know, how was it to work with the writers who crafted this amazing storyline and working with Mark Alimo, who played your superior? And he just gave a lovely response. And he said, thank you for that. And he said that it was just the way he put down a glass one time in a scene at Quark's that the writers decided, they're like, oh, maybe we've got something here. And then they started writing that storyline. And the best thing about Deep Space Nine was, with Next Generation and especially Voyager, most of the episodes, it's very episodic. It's everything kind of gets wrapped up at the end, and then it's a whole new episode for the next show. And there are some things that carry over, but Deep Space Nine carried storylines and arcs over, like, several episodes and even several seasons. Which I love so much, you really did like deep look into characters' lives. And even though Galdemar was not a main character, not even one of the major ones, they still put so much effort and love into this storyline. And I was fascinated by it. And so here I was in Las Vegas now admitting that I was an alcoholic in front of all these people and speaking to the person who portrayed this character who spoke to me from my TV screen, like every time I watched the episode. And he was so appreciative of the question and thanked me and said, congratulations on your sobriety. And I said, oh, thank you so much. But when he finished, Mark Alimo actually said, do you mind if I say something? And everybody was like, oh, sure. And out of nowhere, he said that when he was a little boy, his mother was an alcoholic and unfortunately died from it. And he was too young to really understand what had happened and obviously felt guilty that he was unable to help. But now he does what he can to help others that he knows if they're having difficulty or, you know, helping them with their sobriety or their journey in recovery. And everything he was saying was exactly like what Grace Lee Whitney had dedicated her life to. And he finished talking and he thanked me again and, you know, said, congratulations on your sobriety. And I walked away from the mic and this was, it was a moment that just, you know, everything in my life had changed by watching Star Trek because it had become something a lot bigger for me. But going to the convention, that particular moment just changed the trajectory of my life as I knew it. It shot me into another quadrant. And I went back to my seat. And when the panel was done, there was a woman that ran up, that like sprinted up the aisle and came and found me. And she asked if I was the person at the mic. And I said, oh, I was, yes. And she said that she had been sober for 23 years. And she had been coming to the convention for the past 4 and had always wondered if there was anyone like her at the convention. So just like I had sat and wondered, you know, at the Grace Lee Whitney tribute, if anybody else was like me there, you know, not just a Star Trek fan, but, you know, did have the, you know, this problem. And so by this, you know, this moment that happened, you know, it happened for some reason. I know it, you know, I was meant to not have those 2 questions to ask. And it led this lovely woman to me. And we had an amazing talk and kept in touch throughout the year once the convention had ended. And the following year, many listeners might know, I had posted on a lot of the Facebook groups about holding an AA meeting in my room at the convention at the end of the Sunday night. And so because I basically, you know, said, hi, I'm an alcoholic in front of 5,000 people, I had no problem being the face of the group so that my friend could keep her anonymity, which is obviously so important in the program. So I posted away and I was like, hey, guys, remember me? And I put it out on Twitter and Facebook. And then I said, you know, anybody could send me a private message if they didn't want to come out in public. And we set up an email address that you guys mentioned on some of your episodes on Shore Leave, which was lovely. And yeah. And so we were sitting there ready to have this meeting and we had coffee because you can't have a meeting without coffee. And we had cookies on the table and we sat and, you know, we were waiting and the time got close. And then all of a sudden people showed up and we had a meeting in our room, which, you know, was the, I don't know, the first time there was an AA meeting at a Star Trek convention, and it was nothing but love and acceptance and warmth. And it was so great to have been able to, you know, you think that as one person, you have no impact and you can't make a change. And then all of a sudden you just find one other person and slowly you can actually reach others. And it's amazing how things spread, especially when it's, you know, positive and, you know, warm and embracing. And so here we are and there's like, you know, all these people in my room and we'd found each other and the meeting ended and people stayed around and just talked some more because it was so lovely to find each other. And I've done what I can online on, you know, on the Facebook group still, just to mention, because I wasn't able to make it to the past 2 conventions. So I still wanted people to know that if anybody needed somebody to talk to, even though I wasn't there physically, they could still send a message. And my partner was there and she had the meeting in 2017, but they couldn't have it this year. But I still felt really good about being able to still be there in case anyone needed to reach out. And it's been so crazy. So having all of this happen and then turning all of this into my one-woman show and touring it around at the Orlando Fringe. When I finished, at the end of the show, I actually give people an individually wrapped pack of Earl Grey tea.
Nice.
You know, because, you know, Jean-Luc Picard would want that. and it's got my, and I would write my Twitter handle and email on the back so people could contact me. And I also said that if anybody needed a hug on the way out, I'd be there. I could give one as well. And about like almost 90% of all of my audiences got a hug. Like they wanted a hug on the way out. And a lot of them would just whisper thank you in my ear. Or some of them would say, you know, I'm at 2 years sober now. Or, you know, I'm at Al-Anon, or, you know, my husband just got 17 years, or, you know, I had one person say, you know, I got my 24-hour chip last week. And it was, I realized this was like so much bigger than just this thing that had happened to me. And so it was just saying this one line as a Patreon supporter in one of the podcasts that you two, Heather and Jeff, reached out to me and said, wait a minute, I think we might have something here. And so for you guys to be so wonderful and generous and make this offer to create this podcast, it's, I talk about, you know, the trajectory of my life just like going in this whole other direction. It's incredible. And I hope that by doing this, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't have an MD after my name. I'm not a psychologist or anything. I'm just somebody who has reached, you know, 11 years of sobriety. And I know how difficult it is, you know, how difficult some days are. There are days I don't want to get out of bed, but I do. I kind of push myself. And so I just want others to know that they are not alone. I mean, it's the AA motto. And I'm not, I actually want to say that I'm not pushing the AA programs at all, because it doesn't work for everyone. I have friends that they tried AA and it didn't work. So they actually went another route. Some got just individual counseling and that worked. And there are many other programs. It's just whatever one works for you. And it all starts with just being able to reach out and ask for help, which is the toughest part. And it's the biggest step. And I would just like people to know that you can do it, but you do it whenever you're able to. And I hope that this podcast can help people realize, you know, I can receive private messages at any time, and just to say, even just hey, and you know, just wish you a good day. But I really hope that this can help some people, or even just put a smile on their face as something to listen to get through their day. It's all at the end of my show, I say we're all one big federation. We're all here to look after each other and take care of each other, and it's all through, you know, the message of Star Trek, which is love, acceptance, and tolerance. And if we really, you know, are here for one another, you know, we can get through anything.
That's true.
Awesome. So I have some questions about the show and how the show is going to work.
Yes.
So are you going to be bringing guests on that you find, or can people contact you and be considered to be on the show? Like maybe if they want to tell their story and talk about how Star Trek maybe helped them on the path to recovery or some such. What's your plan?
I want to do all of the above. We mentioned at the start that every podcast on the Tricorder Transmissions Network, it's really all about community. And I don't want this just to be me sitting here talking away. I would love for, and as I said, you know, people can send me private messages or comment on any of the social media lists. We'll list everything at the end of this episode. I would really love for people to, you can send questions that I can read and answer on air. And anonymous, of course, you can call yourself Lieutenant Broccoli if you want. Anything, because obviously the important thing is that if you wish to remain anonymous, that is definitely something that I will honor, because it's what we do. We look out for each other, and I want to keep everyone, because there's a lot of people who, you know, can't talk about this in public. And that's why I want this to be a safe space for everyone. So I will happily read anything on the air. I would love to eventually do like we do on the other podcast, like a Patreon group where it's a group of us discussing a topic openly. I would, for the second episode, I'm probably going to start talking about the specific episodes in Deep Space Nine that involved Damar and his alcoholism, so that we get into actually, you know, why Star Trek spoke to me so much and to others with addiction problems. I say in the start that it's about sobriety and addiction in all forms, because there's a lot of other episodes that involve other forms of addiction. Another episode that I'm very excited about doing is the one from Star Trek Next Generation, Hollow Pursuits. And that's the one with Lieutenant Barclay and the holodeck addiction. I have actually a guest already lined up for that who specializes in addiction treatment, and I'm very excited. This person actually came to see one of my shows in Denver and talked to me afterwards, and I didn't even mention the podcast, because it's still been under wraps, as we said at the start. I didn't even mention it. And he just came up to me at the end and he said, I know so much about addiction. I suffered from sugar addiction as a child and then video game addiction. And then I won't talk too much about it, because I'll have him come on the show and talk more about what he does. But the fact that he'd only been in Denver, I think less than a month.
Oh, wow.
And he just, you know, happened to come to my show and wait to speak to me at the end and tell me all of this. And then I said, do you know what? I've got this podcast that I'm starting. And he said, I'd be more than happy to come and talk. And I said, absolutely. So we've been in touch, and he'll definitely be on the show. And it's the more these things keep happening. And I don't believe, you know, it's for me, AA worked for me personally. I do believe in a higher power for myself. It's not necessarily God. And I don't want to mention, you know, that in this podcast. Whatever it is that helps you get through things works for you. And it's all personalized. For me, it's I do believe that there is something helping navigate me and bringing these people into my life so that I can find other people and we can all come together as one. And so I'm really excited about that. So I would love to do talking about other episodes that involve some kind of addiction. But as I said, I want this to be all about the community. So I don't want to plan too far ahead, because I'd love to see the response that we get. And I would love to have others be able to come on the show. Like I said, we can have other Patreon supporters or others that want to come on, just like individual, to talk about their story. I'm so, so happy to meet others who have not only found their way to recovery, but who have had Star Trek assist them, because it really is a wonderful thing. And there's other people, you know, I'm a Star Wars fan as well. That's helped me a lot. There's people who have, you know, like Harry Potter, I know is a real comfort to so many of my friends. There's a lot of things in the arts and the media that a lot of people go to for escapism, but there's so many others like ourselves that have it actually really mean something to them. And they find it's not just entertainment, but a lot of the storyline and a lot of what the characters go through touches us deep inside, and finds that, you know, we can find our strength from stuff that they've gone through, or a specific line in a film that now becomes somebody's mantra. It's incredible the reach of, you know, movies and theater and books, and it's just incredible. And it's whatever it is that speaks to you is, I love hearing these stories. I absolutely love hearing these stories. And I would love to hear how, because I know Star Trek has touched so many others in this respect. So I want this to be all about all of us as a community and, as I said, one big federation and going on this journey together.
Yeah, just to follow that up. So I just started Queer Trek a couple months ago. We just released episode 2. And similar to this, like my goal with Queer Trek was really to empower queer voices. It's very similar to Sober Trek in that, yes, there may even be more stories of addiction within Star Trek than there are queer representation. Mm-hmm. But there aren't a ton. Mm-hmm. So I think one of the things that I've found just talking to people with my podcast is that it doesn't necessarily have to be a blatant story of addiction or a blatant story for the LGBT community to be seen that way. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of people who see queerness in Star Trek where straight people may not see it at all. And I think that this could be very similar, where some people may read episodes or storylines a different way from this perspective, and it's something that others who have not struggled with addiction wouldn't see. So I'm really excited to see what may come of that. But yeah, I'm a fan of personal stories, and I'm a fan of how Star Trek affects and changes us. And I'm just a broken record, but again, I really commend you. I'm not going to say this. I'm going to cry, man. Okay. Polly and I are besties. So we love each other very much. And, we have both been through very similar situations in our lives, and I'm very, very proud of Polly. I'll just leave it at that. And then I won't cry.
It's a love fest, guys. I adore Heather, and I Jeff, I love you too. Oh, I love you guys so much. And we just message each other anytime and talk about whatever on Facebook, which is so lovely. But when I went to Denver to do my show, which was just under a month ago, Heather sadly wasn't able to make it to my show because she was going out of town. But the night before my shows started, we were actually able to get together for dinner. And it was so lovely. And we we talked for hours, and they were actually closing the restaurant around us. They actually brought out the vacuum.
Wow.
Funny. Yeah, so it was really funny. So it was so great. It was just like, you know, long lost friends who hadn't seen each other in years. And it was, and so because I hadn't met Heather in Vegas. So this was the first time meeting her, and it was just like, you know, oh my God, hey, I haven't seen you in so long, even though
it didn't feel like a first meeting. It just felt like reconnecting. I don't know. It's for me, it's, you know, working on this network or work, it's unpaid work, everyone. Being a part of this network and watching it grow has been extremely rewarding. But it's been, you know, I've been the only woman. And so I was so, so excited when we offered Marina and Jesse the reins to sort of leave, and they accepted. And that episode is out for people who may want to listen.
Yes, it's excellent.
So then I had another woman, and now having a third woman, and I don't know, and I don't know, I'm rambling about this stuff, but it's important to me that we've both been in very difficult places in our lives throughout our lives, like not just as teenagers or 5 years ago or whatever. We've been through a lot. And I think we discussed some of our story in one of the Patreon chats, which you can find in our feed somewhere. Mm-hmm. But to have another woman here on the network to help represent our stories and our struggles is just really really important to me. And I just am repeating myself over and over. Sorry, guys. That's what happens when Heather gets emotional. It's what we do here on Tricorder. Mm-hmm. We want to help the community. Mm-hmm. And I think this podcast is absolutely going to do that.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think I mentioned it earlier, but I am coming back to Las Vegas in 2019.
Nice.
I'm booking it. I've already booked the hotel room at the Rio, so I'm so excited. I've missed it so much because I'd love to be back. And obviously, I should say Chris and I are still together, so it's 11 years in August that we were together and 11 years of sobriety. So things are still going great there. And he's very excited about coming back to Las Vegas as well. But I want to say that I'm going to be so happy to be a part of the representation of the Tricorder Transmissions Network.
Oh,
and
yes.
I am definitely going to be holding at least one AA meeting in my room again for 2019. So I'd like to get that out for people to know. And then obviously people can still reach out to me at any point. And so I'm very excited about that.
I'm excited
as
about that
we,
too.
Yeah, definitely.
It's having hosted Shore Leave for 2.5 years, mm-hmm. for a long time. You know, we've had this discussion come up pretty often because the post-con socialization time happens at bars. Unfortunately, that's a byproduct, not only of a big Vegas, but the Rio just does not have, public open areas that are open late at night that are accessible that do not have alcohol. So it's been a struggle trying to find ways to accommodate people who want to socialize and mm-hmm. don't want to be near a bar. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we can say, look, no one's going to look at you drinking a Coke and judge you for drinking a Coke, mm-hmm. but it's not that simple.
Yeah. It's the environment. I've never, the 2 years that I went in 2015 and 2016, I went nowhere near the Masquerade Bar at any point. And I actually, we stayed in the Ipanema Tower, so I didn't even need to walk past to get to the elevators in
Good
the
plan.
Masquerade Tower. So I didn't see a lot of people because of that. I hung out in the main lobby in the I Bar for a little bit because it's more open and I could, you know, people watch, but still there was still a lot of alcohol. And even though I'm okay, there were some nights that I'm like, I don't want to be around all of this because the Star Trek attendees, mostly are lovely. And but it's the other people who are there as other hotel guests and the gamblers and just casino people.
And
it's a lot.
Yeah.
So it's it was really nice. And there was so much going on. So I was only doing it on the Sunday night. But I'm hopefully going to have at least two. I would love to do that, but it's like I'd like to find another place, hopefully. Especially not the closed Starbucks cafe.
Yeah.
That's
like the only option we've been able to come up with. It's a mess. So maybe we'll take this the next 9-10 months or something. I don't know. Next half a year and brainstorm and see if we can come up with other solutions. Because there's, having an AA meeting is one thing, and then trying to provide another place where people can socialize without being in that bar environment is another. And it's something that is needed. We just need to figure out how to make that happen.
I'm sure we can come up with something.
We will. Yes.
I imagine that maybe you'll do like a pre-STLV episode, or they'll have you on shore leave and you can talk about everything and talk about the meetings and who could come, because I imagine, you know, I'm not struggled with alcoholism. I'm the child of an alcoholic who left before I was born. And at this point in my life, I am addressing a lot of, well, essentially sexual abuse, sexual assault, abusive relationship stuff that was not something that he did, but was certainly a byproduct of his decisions, and, you know, what alcoholism did to his life. And so, you know, my mom went to AA meetings, you know, as his wife, and trying to figure out what to do and how to get through all that. So my whole family has a history of dealing with alcoholism, being the victims of abusers that have hurt other people. And I think that it's okay to say that, you know, even someone like me could still go to an AA meeting and be with everyone and try to help learn and understand. So is there anything else that we need to hit on?
Maybe when can people expect the next episode of Sober Trek to arrive?
Ah, that's a good thing. I am planning on doing this monthly because it takes a lot of work to be able to get everything together. And also I'm busy with work and then also with Damn It Jim, the show. So I'm trying to get that out more. And so monthly seems like the perfect fit at the moment. And Queer Trek is also a monthly podcast, which is fabulous. And it's definitely one that I want to recommend for people to listen to as well.
Thank you.
Marty is fantastic. And the first episode, I haven't listened to the second one yet, but the first episode has my friend Eric Profanchik as well. And it's you, Heather, and Marty and Eric just put together just an absolutely wonderful first episode of Queer Trek. And I know that that's also going to take off and really strike a chord because it's so wonderful.
It's our coming out episode and Eric's coming out story.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I adore Eric.
The year of coming out in all of our own ways.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. So it is, we're middle of October right now. So it should be, a show coming out. I guess we'll do the second to third week of the month, every month, hopefully. So for November and December, but hopefully I can do a December one, before Christmas, because everyone has a lot going on, whether it's Christmas you celebrate or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa, or you just celebrate December 17th for some reason. or don't
Festivus.
Celebrate at all. Yes.
Festivus.
Oh my gosh.
Festivus, yes.
I think that it would be great to dump a bunch of podcasts right before Christmas and the holidays so that you can drown out your family with your headphones.
That would be so great.
That sounds pretty good. Okay, so if people want to contact you, you know, maybe approach coming on the show or giving those anonymous stories and whatnot, how can they contact you?
I'm very glad you asked. I was setting all of these up all day, and so I'm ready to unleash it to the world. So you can find this on Facebook at Sober Trek Podcast. On Twitter, you can find me at @sober_trek. You can email at sobertrekpodcast@gmail.com. And the group that my friend and I started at the convention, the email address we have there is still up and running. That's another option. And that is friendsofbillwandgracew@gmail.com. You can also find this podcast and all the other podcasts on the tricordertransmissions.com, as well as all of the Tricorder Transmissions social media on Facebook and Twitter. And if anybody wants to reach me personally, you can find me on Twitter at PolyesterGems or on Instagram at Pollywood Productions. And you can send, you can comment on anything on any of the posts or send any private messages at all and say anything you like. And if you would like anything read on air, I would be more than happy to do so, either as anonymous or with your name. Or like I said, if you want to be Lieutenant Broccoli, I'm more than happy to read that. I'd just like to be here for others.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, welcome to the family.
Yes, welcome to the Tricorder family, Polly.
Thank you so much, you guys. I'm so honored and I'm gobsmacked. I have no I there's no other words. There are no other words. So we'll just so that's it. The love just goes right back to you guys. And listeners should definitely, as I said, check out Queer Trek and all of the other podcasts that are on the network, because there's something for everyone. There's fantastic ones, there's funny ones, there's stuff that you can listen to when you're on an airplane and you're afraid of flying, like me, and it gets you laughing and in a good spirit and just reminds you that, we're all one big, fabulous, kooky family.
That we are.
Nice.
And that's it. So thank you. Thank you again to Heather Barker and Jeff Hewlett from the Tricorder Transmissions Network. This is, I guess, Polyester wrapping up the first episode of Sober Trek. I'm so very happy that all of you could join us, and I hope to see you again or have you listen to me again next month. So take care, and we will see you then. Thanks, everyone. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Sober Trek. This is how you can reach us. On Facebook, Sober Trek Podcast. On Twitter, at @Sober_Trek. Our email address is SoberTrekPodcast@gmail.com. And the email for the Star Trek AA convention is friendsofbillwandgracew@gmail.com. You can find me personally on Twitter at PollyesterGems and on Instagram at Pollywood Productions. Please check out the other podcasts on thetricordertransmissions.com and feel free to reach out to any of us at any time. Thank you so very much, and have a great 24.